to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast, and God knows we're live tonight if anyone's been tuned in, of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. You are listening to our show as we broadcast to you tonight from our flagship station, AM 1380, WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. We are also being broadcast tonight via satellite to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and of course, we're simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. Let's see if the third time is the charm, if the third hour tonight is going to be the one we can get through without any problems whatsoever. I think we're going to do it, my friend. And to help us get through it together, we welcome our second and final guest of the evening, Nicholas Styx. And for those of you who don't know, Nicholas has appeared with us before. But he is a writer who, since 1989, has been covering a historically unprecedented conflict in which one side is waging a race war on people who deny that they are in a race war. He has written on race hoaxes, including the Duke rape hoax and last spring's rash of hate hoaxes on college campuses. He's also written on racial atrocities, such as the scores of murders carried out by the Nation of Islam, the Knoxville horror, the Kirkwood Massacre, and the Piercy Massacre, none of which, according to the national media, ever happened, and whose victims never existed. His work appears at the great website, bdare.com, amren.com, and, of course, his blog, Nicholas Styx Uncensored, which we have linked for you tonight at our website, the very top blog there on the blog world. Nicholas, welcome back to the show.
Well, it's great to be back, James. I want you to know, first of all, that I'm not sitting here in my pajamas, unshaven and smelly. I got myself all gussied up, I shaved and showered, and I have on a jacket and tie for you.
Hey, you made for radio, my friend. I got to tell you, I am the exact opposite of Nicholas tonight. I was out running around this afternoon, went by the house before I came down to the studio, and I am slumming it this evening, so... What are you going to do? Thankfully, this is radio, not television, but Nicholas is prepared for whatever the medium, and we're thankful
James,
for that.
Your baby is only a year old. Mine is much older, so I can recall.
Yeah, I guess you got a little extra. Tell me it gets better. Tell me you get more time. I haven't slept past 5 in the morning since March 23rd of last year.
Although I hear they're cheaper by the dozen.
I couldn't imagine affording more than one, I got to tell you, but... I'll take your word on it.
Yeah.
That ought to be a topic. You know, we need to have, you know, some you know, fatherly parental counseling on this show, you know, giving good words of advice. That might be our next show. Tonight, though, something far more important than parenthood must be discussed. You know, actually, believe it or not, this story might even be more important than the accusations of racism that they're hurling at The Bachelor this week. This story is—we brought Nicholas Styx on tonight, a man of his talent, a man of his intellectual prowess. We brought him on the show tonight to talk about Alexandra Wallace, and you should know who she is. If you've turned on the TV this week, you will know who she is, and if you've been to my blog, you will know. But Alexandra Wallace, of course, is the 20-something college co-ed bikini model out at UCLA. She has found herself in a pretty pickle, if you will, making national news that has vilified her as our beloved country's racist of the week. She's right up there with me and Nicholas, I guess.
Yeah.
Nicholas, what does she do to deserve this dubious honor?
Well, I think chief among her offenses is that in the video, she bears quite a resemblance to the young Heather Locklear, both in appearance and sound. And that's not a good way to look or sound nowadays. That's the sort of thing that used to win you beauty contests. But now, it gets you death threats.
Yeah, you know, I feel like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I want to have fun with this story, and we're going to have a little bit of fun with it. But the undercurrent of what's going on
here... Also, there is the Valley Girl factor.
Very serious.
She is, I mean, she is a bit of a Valley Girl.
Well, what did you think? You got to go to our, you got to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, folks, and there in the promotional blurb advertising tonight's show, click over to the Nicholas Fix blog.
Yeah,
and read for yourself. But Nicholas, what was your take on her?
First,
what did you think
first,
when, you first...
when I saw that video? The first thing I thought was, are they real? Now, if you look at the video, you how can I say this before a family audience? Well, she appears to have quite a personality, as Johnny Mercer would say, and the old song of his. Quite an outstanding personality. And whenever you see a young woman, a woman of any age nowadays, with a quite ebullient, extended personality, the first thing you wonder is that her real personality?
Exactly what I wonder.
Has her personality been augmented? So, and then it turns out she's a model, that she's done bikini modeling, and the questions just continue. They persist. So it's quite puzzling and baffling nowadays to figure out what's going on with some women, but I guess it always was. Anyway, but personality wise. So so she did this spread, and she's wearing this little tiny, almost nothing bikini for obvious reasons. And it does all kinds of weird things. I don't like this bikini she's wearing. I'm not saying she should have, you know, not worn a bikini, but it's not my taste. But at any rate, and she's, it's not X-rated or anything. Nothing.
No, we got it up on our website. If it's up on our website, it's no worse than R-rated.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Yeah, well, nowadays, I guess it would be G or whatever they say, where everyone of all ages can attend.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, by today's standard, it's like Bambi, I guess.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, you got this girl in all of her glory here, you know, and she's giving a little commentary about Asians at her university library. As we know, it's finals week around the country. Finals are coming up. And she goes to UCLA. Apparently, she's a political science major. Maybe we should have her on the show tonight.
Right.
But she's studying in the library, and you know, Asians are talking on the phone, and she does what everyone does this day and age. She goes to YouTube and documents her feelings about the matter. And, you know, her argument really wasn't polished, but she didn't sound any different than any number of college girls that I've known, as I wrote on the blog. You know, she's talking frankly and candidly and off the cuff, and I think this is the kind of conversation you would hear anywhere.
Right.
She doesn't use any foul language. I mean, you would think that she had committed the unpardonable sin in contemporary America and dropped an N-bomb somewhere in there, but she didn't do anything like that. She wasn't offensive at all. Very cute, very polite, very dainty. And, you know, I think one of the references that you use in your blog on the matter, Nicholas, people have been using, comedians use situational comedy like this all the time to laugh at others. But when this girl did it, she faced...
Don't go away. There's more
people
with the cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Stay tuned, everybody.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, boys and girls, we're back with the great Nicholas Fix, our guest for this hour, and we're talking about UCLA Gate, or the Alexandra Wallace affair. We gave you a little bit of background if for some reason you've been vacationing where there's no televisions or radios or newspapers and you haven't heard about the story yet. College girl at UCLA, we got her video up, the video that's been making headlines around the world, and literally around the world, the London Times is covering this. She goes to YouTube, gives a fairly good-natured complaint about the way that Asian students, who make up the bulk of the UCLA campus, apparently, act in and around her apartment or her dorms. It wasn't confrontational, wasn't mean-spirited whatsoever. But now she is suffering all sorts of duress. Anyway, Nicholas, back over to you. Fill in the rest of the blanks there about her video and then the fallout that came from it.
Well, she complained about two things. First, that Asian students were having very loud conversations on their cell phones in the library. Second, she complained about them having their old mothers or grandmothers or whatever and family members coming over and cooking and cleaning for them on the weekends in the dorms. But that wasn't the issue. That wasn't the real issue. Somehow her complaint about obnoxious Asian behavior in the library just struck a nerve and led to her universal vilification and death threats. Now, the interesting thing here is no one said she lied. Even Asians have posted to websites where they said that it's true that Asians do typically or very frequently engage in obnoxiously loud cell phone conversations in the library. Now, when I was a kid, in the library, I mean, that's, you know, a stereotype, the shh from the librarian will throw you out for whispering. So what has happened? Well, the librarian. That's one of the untold stories here. The librarians have betrayed their calling. The librarian profession is overrun by multiculturalists nowadays. And so for them, meaning all multiculturalists, communists, there are no rules anymore. It's all a matter of who is doing something. So the same act can be a death penalty crime if the wrong person is doing it, and it can be a virtue if the right person is doing it, like your reference to the N-word before. If you're black, you can spew the N-word in public all day, and it's cool. But if you're a non-protected group, it's a death penalty offense, even though we're against the death penalty. All politically correct people are against the death penalty, except for people they hate.
Well, that's exactly right. And the double standard here, like all double standards, is appalling, and there's so many of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
We need to really, if people haven't watched it, just go to our blog, thepoliticalcesspool.org, go to the entry, Alexandra Wallace's This Week's Example of a Racist. Let's just get to some of the things just off the top of the iceberg here. The Associated Press made mention of the fact that the chancellor at UCLA was quote-unquote appalled by the thoughtless and hurtful comments that this young lady made. He went on to say that he recoils when someone invokes their free expression to demean other individuals or groups. I wonder how many times, Nicholas, he's recoiled when people have been bashing white people front, left, and center. And I'm sure that's another story. I'm sure he doesn't recoil very much at all.
Oh.
Let's see here. What else?
That's the First Amendment.
And this lady, this girl is suffering, as you mentioned, obscene phone calls, death threats, her class schedule, phone number, home address was posted online. She's just being inundated with death threats.
Uh-huh.
It says that campus security has advised her to postpone taking her finals. And I know now, Nicholas, that you appear to have even more breaking news than even I was privy to.
Right. She has left UCLA. She has had to withdraw from school due to the death threats and other terrorism against her. So this has gone way beyond. It was way beyond the pale when the death threats began. But now people are celebrating. People are celebrating that she had a lesson taught to her. Shameless posters. Of course, they're almost all at the Daily News in New York, where I saw the news about her being run off of campus. They only permitted six comments so far, and four of them were against her. But that's better than most of what I've seen online. Most of what I've seen online is like 1,000-1 against her. Of course, you never know what the real score is because there's so much censorship. There are so many websites that will rig the comments section to make it look like the people believe one thing when they don't.
Well, that's, you know, that
counterfeit consensus.
That certainly could be the case, but, you know, here on one hand, you have a very benign, like I said, very, not mean-spirited at all, kind of quirky, just good-natured ribbing here of Asian students that she posted online, and much more than being concerned with the death threats of a student at his university, the dean of students at UCLA was quoted as saying that he's been in touch with Ms. Wallace and is balancing her First Amendment rights and the rights of freedom of expression and is weighing whether or not she committed a violation of the UCLA Code of Conduct. So it's more important that she not offend, because as we all know, it's written in the Constitution somewhere. I haven't come across it yet, but I know it's in there somewhere. It is guaranteed that no minority in America can ever be offended. And if you do offend, it's in there somewhere. I know it's got to be. So, you know,
it's not
that's
in my copy, though.
Not in my copy, but
it's text. I've got the old one where they don't talk about offending no one having the right to offend minorities. But that balance.
She, you know, that's all she could have possibly done, even in the wildest stretch of the imagination, was offend some hypersensitive minority. But as far as the UCLA Dean of Students is concerned, that is more important than the death threat. And, and as far as the media is concerned, you know, that's the story.
The media is playing a different tune altogether. What I've seen is that they are suppressing the death threat. Most of the biggest the New York Times has refused to mention, at least in the articles I read there, that she received death threats. They have killed the death word. They just say threats, vague threats.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So it's either very vague or not mentioned at all.
No, and the Daily News also says the threats, no death threats.
It's worldwide news, front page news, you know, ABC, 2020, you know, their top story, you know, racist at UCLA. And she's offended some, you know, minorities. That's more important and more serious than people actually, you know, threatening to take her life. And she's going to pay a big price for this. Her modeling career, such as it was, is almost certainly over. And she will always be known now, like I am known as, you know, racist James Edwards. She will always be known as racist Alexandra Wallace. It's completely unfair, completely inappropriate. Or the racist UCLA girl. That'll stick with her forever. The media has made sure of that. And here's the thing. How did this, Nicholas, in your opinion, you know, you're a journalist. You've worked in the media. How? All right, if I say something or you say something, we are at least public figures to an extent, okay?
Right.
We do a radio show. You've written. You know, we've been interviewed. Okay, if I say something and it gets picked up, I can somewhat understand it. This girl was, you know, by far on his purposes, a nobody. She's just another, you know, blonde college student at UCLA. How did a random posting she did on YouTube, not unlike millions of postings on YouTube, of very similar nature, some far more offensive, how does she get picked to be an example?
Very serious.
Hold your answer, Nicholas. We're going to pick up on that question when we come back. Another commercial break. I tell you, it's going by too fast. Stay tuned.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Big girls don't cry. Everybody, welcome back to the show. Nicholas Dick with us for this, our third and final hour. I am, of course, James Edwards. We're talking about Alexandra Wallace, the UCLA racist, if you go by that which the media is referring to her as. And I was asking Nicholas a pretty important question, I thought, before the last commercial break. It's not like this was Jenna Bush or something, you know, the president's daughter. Even then, I think it's a stretch for it to be national news. But what you had here, Nicholas, was really, I think, a testament to the sick and perverse nature of the mainstream media, or so-called mainstream media, for making this. You know, this, I like to talk about manufactured news stories on this show quite a bit. If this isn't one, I don't know what is. An unknown college girl venting about Asians in a pretty benign way on YouTube is not national news by any standard of measurement. You know, so How did she become the example to be made, Nicholas?
Well, what happens, James, is that the media are just like the universities now. They are run by totalitarians who refuse to allow private sphere. There is no private sphere, no escape from them. And so they make it a point to hunt down private individuals and destroy their lives as an example to the others.
Well, I understand why they did it, but I'm just saying, how did they pick her? I mean, out of all the people on YouTube,
they're hunting around, just like the race hoaxes. They're always hunting for race hoaxes. People say, Republicans will say, oh, well, they were duped. You know, the journalists were duped by this race hoax, say the Duke Rape hoax. They weren't duped at all. They knew exactly what they were doing. It was obvious from the very beginning with the Duke Rape hoax that it was a hoax. It was clear to the first police officer who dealt with this, Crystal Gayle Mangum, that she was a fake, that she was faking being unconscious and whatnot. Just like with the Tawana Pauly hoax. It was obvious to the witnesses and the police who dealt with the girl and the rape commission that she hadn't been raped, that she put herself in the plastic bag and all that, and that it was phony. But the journalists aren't interested in the fact. They're interested in exploiting these situations to harm white America.
Well, you know, I guess that's as good of an explanation as I can get, and I think you're right on target, you know, to be honest with you. I guess they really just are everywhere at all times and looking for something. But it's like I said, another thing I don't get is how and when did Asians get catapulted up the minority totem pole like this? You would have thought she'd offended a black person or a homosexual or something, you know. But an Asian, I thought they were, you know, almost fair game like whites, but apparently not.
Asians are angry, James. They have been taken. They feel they have been taken for granted for too long. Now, the other thing that's going on with the Asians is you've got Asian activists. Now, who knows what the heck the average Asian is thinking about this. But you
now,
have,
and if they're an Asian activist, would that make them a white supremacist? Because we know anyone who advances white ideas is a white supremacist. So are they also Asian supremacists, or is that just
Asian
another?
Supremacy is good, James. Asian pride is good, white pride is bad. Got it?
Okay, all right. I forgot there for a minute. But unfortunately, you're not lying. As far as they're concerned, that's exactly.
There was some Asian psychology prof, and it was like a self-parody, talking about psychology today, throwing these big $100 terms around from psychology or pseudo-psychology, and talking about hegemonic discourse and racist discourse at Alexandra Wallace, and asking if Asians have a target on their back. Now, has anybody been threatening to murder Asians? If so, I missed it. So you get these...
You would have said, I wish, you know, people are just having to go to my website. I don't have it queued up, and we've had plenty of technical difficulties tonight. I don't want to throw another variable out there. We should have had this all queued up to play. We should have, because it's only 3 minutes long. We should have just played her video on the show so people could understand how harmless it is. I mean, she doesn't even speak of them in a disparaging way. She doesn't use any sort of slang terms to identify them as. I'm getting
off
kilter here. But
an example to work on, because it's so innocuous. I mean, there's just, if you get up in arms, if you get in a rage about this girl, there is nothing that you can tolerate. Nothing in the world.
That is an excellent point, Nicholas. I'm very glad you put it into words like that, because I was trying to articulate that just as succinctly as you did. Basically, if that which this girl said, and again, if you haven't heard it, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. We've got the video. Just search Alexandra Wallace. She's down about 7 or 8 blog entries from the top. All right. If that which she said carries the sentence of death threats, public scorn, you know, being run out of school, then there is nothing you can say ever. Ever. I mean, you know, anything you say, you could find you suffering similar consequences, because that which she said is so tame that it defies logic that, you know, it defies logic that anyone's even talking about this. You know, even if she'd have got on there and said nothing, you know, but you know, so-called racial epithet, you know, that's not news, because she's nobody. And on the other hand, and I don't want to digress too far, but I've also, just for the sake of comparison, got a blog entry up on the website where, you know, Weekly Standard, which is a fairly mainstream, you know, magazine, I guess, you know, they refer to Southern whites as trailer park Protestants and white trash and snake handlers and slime and all this, you know, talking about how the Republicans shouldn't court white Southerners. And this is coming out of the Weekly Standard. But, you know, so you call white people snake handlers and rednecks and hicks and trailer park trash and slime. You know, that's not cause for concern. But you get up here, you're an unknown college girl. This is the Weekly Standard doing this. You're an unknown college girl. You get on YouTube and you say Asians talk too loud. And, well, the rest is history.
Well, I very rarely venture into that neighborhood of reading the Weekly Standard, but it sounds about right. that's your basic Republican rag, the Weekly Standard, and that's a pretty good profile of what's acceptable for Republicans to say these days. But you know, we have to go back 2 or 3 years here. Now, the American Renaissance ran a big front pager a year and a half ago, I believe, on the rise of this generic Asian American identity and the groups that are trying to create this. And the only context to this Asian American identity is hatred of whites. They try to eliminate the particularities of Japanese American, Chinese American, Vietnamese American identity and so forth. For instance, so that we'll just forget about the rape of Nanking, because traditionally Chinese and Japanese, whether here or in Asia, have hated each other. I mean, that's a fine old hatred. But they're supposed to forget all about the rape of Nanking. This is promoted also by people with no sense of history, right? People who were born and raised here. And they go after people like Mickey Rooney. 2 or 3 years ago, they went after Mickey Rooney for the role he played as a Japanese neighbor of Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast with Tiffany. And there was, although he was a public figure, there was nothing at all hateful about his role. There was nothing anti-Japanese. The original story by Truman Capote was anti-Japanese, you could say, because they kept referring to him as a Jap. But this was a harmless bit of fluff. I mean, Mickey Rooney, he doesn't have a mean bone. Not only does he not have a mean bone in his body in real life, but in his role he didn't have any meanness. I don't think they even saw the movie. They just saw on YouTube, they saw this, a scene or two of that character. But again, so he put in some teeth, some funny teeth and glasses, but he looked and sounded like a Japanese.
Right.
But the problem is, their real hatred was that a white man was paid to play a Japanese. Never mind that it was 50 years ago. Never mind that Mickey Rooney is one of the greatest talents in the world in the last 100 years, I mean, of entertainment. And this guy, singing, dancing, comedy, drama, I mean, he's in the top 10 or top 20 of performers. I mean, up there with guy. Well, I mean, he's not as high as Sinatra, but he's on the list. He's on the list. I mean, if you look at his career, there's very little that he hasn't done. And a nice guy. And they went and attacked him. And he, what was he, 87, 88 years old at the time? Journalists taking cheap shots at him ever since.
Well, that's a very interesting parallel that you draw there, and I appreciate you bringing that to the consciousness of the listeners out there. And it kind of defies logic, I guess, in a way, that we spent 45 minutes talking about this single subject. We typically don't dedicate that much time in a program to anything, much less the fallout from, you know, 20-year-old college girl. But we're going to put it all into summation for you, bring it all full circle into perspective when we come back for this one final segment.
Stay tuned, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Check jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang, call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, it's been another whirlwind show, to say the least, and we appreciate everyone for tuning in tonight. I've still got one last segment, but I'm going to go, you know, as they do on the sitcoms now, they give you the credits now before that last segment, so I guess we're trying to catch up with the times here. Got a big crowd. I want to mention this before I turn it back over to our guests for some final thoughts. Got a big crowd in the political cesspool virtual fan party this evening, sponsored by our friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens, and apparently a lot of Nicholas Dix fans in the room this evening as well. I've seen more than a couple ask me to pass along some well wishes to Nick. I don't know if this is going to mean anything to you, Nicholas, but Nivius Veer, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Nivius Veer, yeah.
He's adamant that I say hello to you. So
well,
I'm glad, apparently you know who he is.
Nivius is an invaluable contributor. He's one of the top writers on race and crime, bloggers on race and crime and the whole net.
He is in our chat room right now listening to the show and has made a point for me to make a point to tell you he says hello. So this is, you know, this is the kind of interactivity we like to promote with our listenership and our guest. So, you know, I'm just the middleman here. I'm just a clown in the circus.
Mm-hmm.
But he says hello and thinks you're doing a great job tonight.
Great. Thanks so much. James, before I forget, I meant to say this at the top of the hour. I have come on the show with the plan of inviting you to co-found with me the committee to save Alexandra Wallace. Now, if unrepentant racist cop killers like Mumia Abu-Jamal can have committees on his behalf, I think the least that we can do is have a committee to save Alexandra Wallace.
You know what? I would love to partner with you. You know what? We might actually get some press if you're serious. You know, if anything our names are attached to, you know, it might not be good press. In fact, I can almost guarantee it. But as long as they spell our names right. And
exactly.
Listen, you know, that's really not a bad idea. And the point you make is actually a very good one. You're absolutely right. You've got all these committees to save all these thugs. And, you know, another story that you would have never heard of this week if you left you know, the powers that be to tell it. You know, and we made mention of it, I think. It was a small town in Texas, according to police reports, somewhere between 18 to 28 black males participate in the gang rape of an 11-year-old, I think, Mexican girl. I'm not sure the exact name. Multiple gang rape. You know the story. Okay, but that's not news. That's not national news.
Crime to her. 11-year-old girl. And the community.
Yeah, and then they're saying the white racism, of course, was the culprit. It was because of the white racism that these, you know, 30 black men had been subjected to that caused them to go rape this 11-year-old girl. But, you know, that's not nearly as serious as, you know, what Alexandra Wallace had to say. That's not nearly a big of a news story.
No, not at all. It's not newsworthy.
Well, and I guess that brings us back full circle, Nicholas, is, you know, we spent literally now an hour talking about this one story. And in and of itself, like I said, a girl posting a pretty innocuous video in good nature is not a national news story. Why did this one become one, and why was it necessary for us? What is the serious aspect of the story that people need to think about, and why did we devote this much time to it?
We have to think at all times about the evil of white people. That's what we have to think about, and that's what the media is reminding us of.
Well, and apparently they found their latest manifestation of that evil in the form.
Right.
And like I said, I can't repeat it enough. I know it's sounding repetitive at this point. You got to watch this video. You got to watch this video of this girl to really see what all the fuss is about. There is nothing, and I mean nothing there. This goes to show not only the vile nature of the media, but the power that they have to ruin lives. I think the only mistake this girl made was to offer the knee-jerk, seemingly obligatory apology to the school newspaper right at the very beginning of this whole ordeal. you know, if anyone should be apologizing, it's the media, it's the chancellor, it's, you know, all of these, you know, thug, you know, diversities that have been threatening this girl. They are the ones and the only ones who owe an apology. She certainly doesn't.
James, have they ever apologized before?
No, they never have, and that's another thing. They never have. That's one thing we need to remember, and the and they never will. And the second thing is, and I let this be known in the blog, appeasement never works. But, you know,
no.
This girl,
no,
this girl was just woefully, you know, ill-prepared to face this that she's enduring right now. I don't think any of us are. I think, obviously, people like us are a little more seasoned because, you know, we've been attacked so often over the years. But, you know, and I know I have, you know, doing this radio show.
Right.
But, you know, you're just a, you know, happy-go-lucky 20-year-old living the college life, and you get stuck with this. You know, she couldn't have been ready to face anything like that. And you know, bless her heart, I don't know what's going to happen to her. I don't know where she goes from here.
No, it's really tough. I mean, I guess she'll have to say that she's getting therapy and sensitivity training and whatnot. You know, like these Hollywood stars, when they make a boo-boo and say something that they weren't supposed to say publicly, and that's all I can imagine, because she made that wrong turn. Her only mistake was, as you said, apologizing. And once you appease,
and I know she thought about
water.
Doing it, but she might have believed that she was really in the wrong, you know, after hearing so many people tell her that she was in the media. And she might have thought also that by issuing the apology, it would make it all go away. But, you know, they truly do. These jackals.
Yeah.
They get that apology, that's like the proverbial blood in the water for a shark. That's when they really pour it on, and that's what they did here. And I've never apologized. And number one, of course, God knows I'm never wrong. Number two, even if I were, I would apologize to people in private, normal people. I would never apologize to the media, even if I was dead dog wrong, because they don't deserve it.
No, they don't. They don't.
Nicholas, listen, I tell you what, this has been an hour that has gone by far too quickly. Do you have any final parting words of wisdom? And by all means, let the people know how they can find your website.
Well, I'm just going to reiterate what you said. Folks, when you're dealing with these kind of people, you can never apologize. That's all. And remember that the media is hostile. The media are hostile to the truth. They are hostile to facts. And if they're not duped, this is all deliberate. This is the way they operate. We're dealing with a certain kind of criminal here, and criminals are creatures of habit.
That's a very good point. And it's something people need to remember. I know this girl has taken down all of her email addresses, and you know, because they've all been posted. She's taken down our YouTube. There's no way. I don't think we can relay a word of support for her. You know, she's a faceless victim and a pawn in their game, and let's, you know, not let, you know, and this is, you know, this really will have a psychological effect on conservative whites in particular. And you know, like I said, though, if this is something that warrants such a harsh punishment, then there's, you might as well just, you know, duct tape your mouth every time you walk outside, because any one of us at any time could face the same punishment if this is extended across the board. And I'm sure
there's one other thing
that
I've been saying it for years, and I have to keep repeating it to folks who are going to say something that's at all right of Stalin. Use pseudonyms. And don't use your face if you can help it. Use pseudonyms. Unless you're willing to become a public person like us and deal with this sort of stuff, do not use your real name, and don't even tell people that you're using a pseudonym. Don't tell an editor that you're using a pseudonym, because editors and the mainstream media love to destroy whistleblowers and other heretics. They love to see them burn. So use pseudonyms.
Yeah, let the people like us that are out there using our real names and our real faces, let us do the heavy lifting. And once we get victory, y'all can all come out and join us. And that's typically the way it is done, you know, unfortunately. A few people get the job done, and then public perception shifts, and everyone's on the team all of a sudden, and you know, and it could happen here, but we got a pretty powerful enemy to face down, and they certainly control the media venues. That's okay; we can get around them because we still have the people. Nicholas, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Again,
you,
the hour went by far too quickly. We will have to do it again sooner rather than later.
Sure thing.
Hey Nicholas, how do people find your website?
It's Nicholas Sticks. Just like my name, NICHOLASSTIX dot I'm sorry, Nicholas Sticks, Uncensored, all one word, Uncensored, no comma or anything, .blogspot.com.
With a name like Nicholas Sticks, you would have thought he would have been in an 80s rock band, but he is.
Yeah.
No such luck, but he's a great guy. And we have his website, of course, linked to Mars this evening. So, Nicholas, thanks so much for being with us tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, James. Be strong.
You got it. No retreat, no surrender, no apology, my friend. Nicholas Sticks, everybody joining us tonight for the full third hour. We only had him booked for 30 minutes. He made up for where Henry Macko left off or came up short. So Nicholas Sticks tonight on the Political Cesspool radio program, joining us for an hour talking about the Alexander Wallace scandal out of UCLA. And again, if you haven't read about that, check it out on our website. That's all for tonight, everybody. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week here at the Political Cesspool radio program.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.